Well, it's the year of the Bible, and as you know, we're doing a series on Route 66. Why Route 66? Well, count up how many books are in the Bible, and a hint, and we're just looking at the Bible, trying to understand it, trying to get excited about it, to see how useful it is. But let's be honest, for many, reading the Bible is blooming hard. It's not easy. It's as hard, I was thinking of an analogy of, for some people to read the Bible, as it is for me to read a cookery book by Delia Smith. I find them so difficult. And when I'm looking for a recipe, I don't go to her. I go to Pooh's cookbook or something like that that I can actually understand, because it's really tough and really difficult. And if you think the New Testament is hard enough to get into, because that's often where Christians start, hey, well, the Old Testament is daunting, because, well, for various reasons. You see, the Old Testament was written not just 400 years ago, like the authorized version of the Bible, but parts of it some 3,000 years ago. It was written in a remote, non-European culture where the customs were so totally different and alien to us, where people were constantly at war with one another or with their neighbors. And, you know, with our 21st century eyes, some of the problems presented in the Old Testament give us some real ethical worries. Why are nations wiped out? What about all those animal sacrifices? What about the seeming callousness of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Or death wishes upon enemies? It seems so primitive compared to our society. And then I thought, well, what have we heard about this week in the news? And I was reminded that we put out, I don't know how many hundreds of travelers, kids from their homes and schools with nowhere to go. We have had 8-year-old child cage fighters making money for adults. There's supposed to be a British company that is at this very moment turfing something like 1,000 Ugandans off some site where they've been living for a long while. A British company accused of this. A rogue trader has been brought to court for losing billions of dollars of other people's money. And then, to cap it all, and I can't find my leaflets, we've had the story of the fact that our government is asking people who are short of money to go to charities like the food bank in Norwich because they're short of money. I don't know that our ethics have improved and morally were superior to people way back then. In some ways we've learned a lot, but not in others. By comparison, though, to the Old Testament, the New Testament is really much brighter. But beware, it's much more demanding, I believe. Look for a start at the Sermon on the Mount. It's so difficult. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Blessed are the persecuted, and blessed are those, you know, the meek, blessed are these. And yet it's so difficult to live it out. And as we've thought before, Mahatma Gandhi said if he'd found Christians living as Jesus asked us to live, then he probably would have become a Christian. It's tough. It's really difficult. But Jesus calls us not just to read it, but to do it. In his name. We're called to love, forgive our enemies, turn the other cheek, bless those who persecute you. And then in the New Testament, all that hatred stuff for neighbors and things seems to have evaporated. But there is a final day of judgment, and no one can escape that. The contrast between the two halves of the books seems comparable to me, as though we're leaving winter as we shut the page in Malachi, and we're coming then into the Gospels, the Acts, the Epistles, Revelation. It seems as though we're leaving winter and we're coming into a glorious summer period. As Chris Krish Kandahaya said, who's written that book, Route 66, what happened in the intervening years? There were 400 years between the book of Malachi being finished and the Gospels and Jesus' coming. What happened to him? Some people think God had a personality change. Some people think he had a, if nothing else, a thorough makeover. What happened to God? Well, we'd need to really look back at the Old Testament and see, but there wasn't a great change in God. There were, in the circumstance of the world, there's a difference in what he's offering to mankind. But when God saw the time was ripe, he came to planet Earth. He came in order that we might truly see how God is. And how do we know what God's like? Well, we look at Jesus, God, come in flesh, even touching down on earth in Bethlehem. The coming of Jesus is truly the greatest news, as in a moment I'll seek to show. But there's no way we should think the Old Testament is unimportant. Even though it was given in a certain culture, at a certain time, when mankind seemed to be going through yet another dark age. Parts of it are very dark and gloomy. Now allow me to try to explain why we do need the Old Testament and to understand the Old Testament, even though we're living as New Testament Christians today. I wonder if you've ever come to watch a film and, you know, everybody else has been watching it. It's been going on for quite a while. And you see a pathetic heroine and you don't know why she's so wimpish and whatever. And then you ask everybody, what's the matter with her? And you hear that before you came in, she'd met with a horrible spider or something. You just can't understand why she is that she is because of what's gone before you entered the room. Or you think you come into Poirot after 15 minutes of it starting, you wonder, why is Poirot and his sidekick, Captain Hastings, why are they trundling down to that really beautiful hotel in the South Coast? Until you discover that Miss Battleshaw's lice ended in a sticky way in the bar with a dagger or something. If you just begin halfway through or way into a novel or a film, you just don't get the whole story. You can enjoy what you're reading, but you don't get it all. But a practical point is that if you are about to launch into studying the Old Testament, because Dawn's been talking about it and Jess has now been referring to it, do get a study Bible, do get some help, because it is tough. It was written a long while ago, different culture, etc. Indeed, so many things in the New Testament will remain an enigma when we just begin the Bible halfway through. For instance, why on earth did God send his son and to die such an awful death? It seems cruel, it seems barbaric, it seems horrific. But the Old Testament tells us God had lambs die in our place. He had heifers die in our place. And because he's a God of love and a God of justice, on the cross, Jesus, well, God's justice and his love met. Those Old Testament sacrifices, they were foreshadowing what Jesus was doing, dying on the cross. And Jesus himself saw his earthly life as a fulfillment of all that was spoken of in the Old Testament. And so he'll say time and time again, you know, this is because the Old Testament prophets had prophesied this. Just as we heard Jack saying, and the prophets of old said, and this is now being fulfilled in your midst, Jesus is saying, through me. The Old Testament is so important. Well, what did the Old Testament prophets prophesy? Well, it's truly amazing that they foretold some 350 times specific details about the life and death of Jesus in very great detail. Read Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22, and some of the groups I hope will be doing that as they look at the good news of the gospel in more detail. So much about Jesus is foretold by the prophets, and it's ready there to be uncovered and to see, and we get such glimpses of sunlight and just amazing patches of glory in the Old Testament. We think, wow, this is in the Old Testament. God's amazing love shining through, radiating through. And many of the great Old Testament characters, they're just pointers to who Jesus is. David, the great king, so faithful with a heart for God. It's foreshadowing Jesus, the greatest, the King of Kings. Moses, the great teacher, the giver of the law. He was a forerunner of Jesus giving the new law. It was in the Old Testament, it was said this, but I say to you, this is how he's to live now in the light of the New Testament and of the New Covenant. The high priests, they were making all those sacrifices. It foreshadowed the coming of Jesus offering of himself on the cross. It's all there in the Old Testament, foreshadowing the coming of our Lord Jesus. I think I've got this right. There's that ditty, but it's got a lot in it. The New Testament is in the old concealed, and the new is by the old revealed. We need each part of the Bible. We really need to see the Bible as a whole, not just break into it halfway through when it gets a bit easier. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, it is rightly described as God's love story for mankind. And it began right in Genesis chapter 1. And it continues right to the end of Revelation 22. But let's for a moment just concentrate on the good news, the gospel. That's what the gospels mean, good news from the Greek. The gospels are like a bridge between the old and the new. They reveal that Jesus is the Father's way for all, as well as the Father's teacher that the Father gives, and the Savior that is given by the Father for all the world. It's true the Gospels close with Jesus returning to the Father. But that wasn't the bad news that it sounded at first, because we see through the rest of the New Testament, the Acts, the Epistles, Revelation, etc., that the story of God on earth continues not through Jesus directly, but by his Spirit in you and in me, if we'll allow him to do that. The Gospels are mankind's including the Jewish nations. It's, the Gospels are the hope for all mankind, the way we can come to know God. There's no other way under heaven by which man may be saved, no other name under heaven, only through the name of Jesus. And they demonstrate, the Gospels, the fulfillment of all God's promises. God says in a rash way, I never do anything without revealing it to the prophets. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament laws, of the sacrifices, as well as the hope that was generated and Israel was living for from generation to generation to release them and to set them into God's kingdom. Hey, let's pray. We are bearers of the good news of the gospel. Let's pray that eyes will be opened as we share about Jesus in what is, I believe, a morally darker and darker and darker and spiritually darker world. But briefly, let's just if we could, and I'm not sure I asked Simon and Sue to perform a miracle, what seems impossible for me, but to bring up parallel, Genesis chapter 1. Oh, they've done it. Thank you. And Genesis chapter 1. Something might happen in a minute. Genesis chapter 1 and John's chapter 1. Just to see the continuity that there is between the old and the new, and yet the change. Is it going to be possible or not? Don't worry. If you remember in the Genesis 1, perhaps I'll just read those first few verses, and you've all heard John chapter 1 read this morning. I'll just read those couple of verses. Oh, there we are. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Thank you. And then there's John chapter 1. We heard these, but let's look at them again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Can you just yell out, if you're brave enough to, what are some of the quotes John is giving from Genesis chapter 1? What similar words is he taking up as the theme? And in fact, Krish Kandaya says that John was being incredibly brave. It's as though he was taking our national anthem and rejigging it. Anybody says, that's not right. But actually, what he was doing was right. He was showing Jesus to be the fulfillment and the development of God's purposes. Can you? Yep. So, some similar words between the two. In the beginning. Thank you. And do you see any parallels between God's original act of creation, and what's quite different is it's a spiritual creation that he's forming, a new creation in John's Gospel. physically in Genesis 1, all was darkness. Spiritually, John 1, all is darkness. What was the agent of creation in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1? It's the difficult one. Yeah, God's word. God said, let there be light. And it happened. John chapter 1. Thank you. Who is that light?
Amen.
And what change does he want to make? Well, there are lots of similarities, lots of change, but it's really worth, if you've got a good study Bible, and do get one. If you're stuck for 1 week and try to get some sort of I'm sure it costs price or something, because they really are so essential to get into the Old Testament, help you understand more of it. So it's not just a book, that half remains closed. So, thank you. In the groups, I'm hoping that some will go on looking at some of those changes and the continuity between the two. So, supremely, we can see the whole of the New Testament is good for all because it's good news. It's good. It's what God planned because Jesus has fulfilled all the demands of the Old Testament. We haven't got to come here and offer pigeons and lambs and heifers and whatever. If we've become unclean because of sin, we don't have to stay out for a week out of God's presence. We can ask God's forgiveness. It's such good news. Believe it and love it. And only now, as God's people, are we free to enter right into the presence of God. They couldn't do. Only the high priest could, as you know, and he had to do elaborate washings and wear elaborate clothes and then have a rope tied around his leg in case he offended God in God's presence. They had to pull him out. And he would be like that Irishman that seemed to be spontaneous combustion. Did you read about that horrific story? Anyway, that's what they feared would happen to a guy in God's presence. The Gospels herald good news, great news, because we're adopted as God's children. Something almost unthought of, you know, in any religion. God is too distant, too holy. But the Christian gospel says he is holy, he's totally different, but he's come amongst us and he wants to live in our hearts and lives. That's tremendous news, isn't it? In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus outlines why he came and why the New Testament, the gospel, is contagiously so different and good. And here he's setting an agenda for himself, but for us, for you and me, the church, as we go about soon school, us, wherever it is. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, as I conclude, ultimately, it's not the New Testament books that are superior to the Old Testament books. It's the covenant, it's the agreement that God has made and offers to all mankind. It's, as Tesco would say, God's finest, not the basic. It's his best for the world. Let's believe that. It's open to all mankind, Jew, Greek, whoever we are. It's for you and it's for them. It's for the kids I saw with the skateboards. I don't know where they're heading. So I thought, what a shame they don't know Jesus, and we don't offer something that they can come to this morning. Well, the challenge. I would really encourage you, as we're doing in Christianity Explored, to be reading a gospel. Read one this week. It's not very long. Mark's gospel is the one we're reading. So we read it all together, that'll be the whole church reading John and Mark's gospel. It's short. It's pithy. It's really to the point. But it's loaded with God. It's loaded with good news. It's loaded with God's message of mercy, of forgiveness, of joy. And pray that as you read it, you'll become infectious, not with that cold that's going around, that Angie's passed on to her mum and others have passed on to her, but that we infect people with the good news of God's love, power to heal, desire to forgive. We've heard just one testimony this morning of God's answering our prayers. Good news is what we've got. How amazing. Let's just be still before God.